Now, I want to say a word about the translator. The translator that translated his sermon from Russian to English is a man by the name of Alexander. Alexander is, since his birth, been lame in both feet. He wrote me about 6 months ago, sent me an email, gave me his testimony. He began it this way. First, I want no money. I want to learn more about the Bible. He had found us on sermon audio. He knows English very well. And his testimony was this. At 6 years of age, his parents, who were atheists, went on vacation. They met a missionary who gave them a New Testament, Russian New Testament. They brought it home, put it up, and 6 years later, at the age of 12, he found it and started reading it. He read it all the way through twice. And in reading it through, he learned about Jesus Christ. He learned that he was a sinner, and he learned that he needed Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he asked him to save him. So then he learned he needed to go and be baptized. Now, I don't know how in the world you learn that out of New Testament, but that he learned it out of New Testament, that he needed to be baptized. So he went looking for a place to be baptized. Not churches, Protestant churches or any kind of churches, hardly except for Catholic churches throughout Russia, and that's Russian Orthodox churches. But he did finally find a Nazarene church, and they baptized him. And he attended there a while, but he said, I couldn't accept their crazy language. You understand what he's talking about. They were speaking in tongues. And he said, so he left there. Then he went looking as he's studying the Bible. He starts looking for a Baptist church. So he found a Baptist church, and he went to it. But he said, I realized as more as I studied the Bible that they were Armenians. They weren't teaching the truth about salvation. So that's how he came to our website. And so he said, I want to learn more. So he and I have been doing Russian, been communicating by email. By divine providence, this man lives about 30 kilometers from another Primitive Baptist church in eastern Siberia. We'll be going to that church. Lord's willing, Brother Lewis is going to help me baptize this man. But he began attending then. I put him in contact with the pastor there at the Primitive Baptist Church. The pastor went down, met him. They've been studying the Bible together. And so now he is attending the Primitive Baptist Church there in Angars. Divine providence, the Lord's life, how the God brought him about. So he's the one that translated Brother Sergei's message. He's already translated for me several different articles. He's a very good translator in the written form. He's not very good yet in speaking form, but look forward to spending time with him. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. You're very familiar, of course, with this portion of Scripture, but I will read it for us again. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, just any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in that.
Thank you, Brother Herb. In my sermon, I have 3 points. The grace of God, save us. Point number one, the need of grace. The Apostle Paul describes the conditions of the natural human being. Such a man, is dead in a spiritual aspect. He has no spiritual life inside himself. As for the Holy God, the man is surely dead. This man doesn't want to live for God. He doesn't will to subject himself to the law of our God. The man lives in accordance with the will of the prince of this world, the devil, whose desires the man is fulfilling. The man is a slave, a real bond servant of Satan. The man's will is subject to the devil's power in the fullest measure. This person doesn't love God. On the contrary, the man resists God and rebels, showing absolute disobedience. The man is subject to the anger of God. Our God displays his anger because of disobedience. Our God is just, and his anger is reactions to sin. He will punish every sinner. No man has the power to change his own heart. What is a worthy reward for such a man to receive? Is it a heavenly dwelling place of blessing? May it never be. He has deserved nothing but eternal hell. Such would be just retributions for him. Point number two, the work of grace. Paul says that, but God is rich in mercy. The source and initiator of salvation is our God. The beginning of the work of his grace inside of us is his goodness and great love. The cause of our salvation is not our being good, because we are really, really abominable, but our God is gracious to the highest degree, beyond and measure. Literally, God regenerated us, give us our spiritual life. He rose up from dead, placing us in his kingdom. We are saved by God. We are saved by God's grace, not according to our own deeds or any merits. We have gotten our salvation because of redemption provided by Christ. He died for our sins, being sacrificed in as an offering, making reconciliation and satisfaction of the anger of God, which was poured upon him. God give us our faith. Faith is a gift of God. We cannot work out our saving faith. Such a kind of faith can be gifted to us by God only. Point number three, the purpose of God's grace. God give us salvation and many great blessings. They are forgiveness of our sins. God has forgiven us all our sins. He adopted us as His children. So, we are His sons and daughters. When created in the garden, the man was a great creation of God, but he remained merely a creation. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, we become God's children in full measure. We were given a new heart. It is able to love God. It loves Him now and will love Him forever. Due to this feeling of love, we submit to His commandment joyfully. God predestinated us for doing good works. These good works are not these good works are to display in faith. Or being born anew is to be seen through our good works. Our good works are not a cause of our salvation. They really are the consequences thereof. God's grace is being poured upon us beyond any measure. We are able to do good deeds due to His grace only. Godly living is a fruit which display whether we are saved or not. Good works in our life are to glorify our God. All the things that God has ever done are done for His glory. All living things in the world is created to proclaim our Heavenly Father's glory. Our salvation glorifies Him as well. The Divine Trinity receives is the glory through the salvation of sinners.
Let's start that verse, that line again. Read that line again.
The Divine Trinity receives its glory through the salvation of sinners. God the Father elected us from eternity. Jesus Christ has redeemed the elected ones. The Holy Ghost brought us to Jesus Christ. These fairly simple truths make us humble, shown to us the only God is the source of our salvation. He is the beginning and the end of our salvation. We are saved not according to our deeds, but merely due to mercy of our God. May God be glorified today as always before. To God alone be the glory. Yes. Dear friends, thank you for invitation. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me this church meeting. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662 837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.